meeting. Ms. Finnegan has taken minutes. Roll call. First on the agenda.
Blighted Ties and County Council.
Is R18-080, consenting to the appointment of David Greger to the position of Chief Financial Officer. And I believe all three of these are currently on the table.
I'm sure you really want this one.
So, that's President Nagel.
And I'll let the administration speak to that.
Okay, is there someone here to speak to Mr. Greger's appointment? Would Mr. Greger like to speak to his appointment?
We're asking that this be lifted from the table at tonight's House meeting for a vote.
Okay. Do you want to speak to us?
Sure. I'd love to speak to you.
I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah. I want to thank all of you for considering my nomination and hopefully providing me the opportunity to serve the citizens of Newcastle County. If you had a chance to look at my resume, I think that was been distributed, you'll see that I basically spent an entire career in public service. And unlike most people, I actually was fortunate enough to go to school, study public finance for state and local governments, and actually practice what I would, you know, instructed on in school. So I have certain enthusiasm for the topic. You know, if you're rolling your eyes over the length of my presentation before, that's because I really love what I do, and I think it's a great service that I can provide to inform people on the finances and the opportunities that allows us to serve citizens. If you looked at my resume, I'm originally from upstate New York. You can see the university that I attended. I grew up near Buffalo, New York, which means I know about snow, and I am cursed to be a Bills fan for all of eternity.
Yeah.
Especially with the Eagles doing so well.
Let me put on the record that Councilman Holland has been here since it started.
I've been a resident of Newcastle County for 31 years. I came straight out of graduate school, Newcastle County, and resident of the city for the last 20 years. If you look, you know, at my experience, I think there's a breadth and depth of what I've been involved with over the years. I've been a policy analyst. I've done revenue forecasts. I've done audit and enforcement work. I've negotiated settlements and designed audit programs. I've managed tax processing units. I've worked on the IT side, including writing my own code and various models. I've drafted legislation. I've acted as the liaison to the legislature, governors, and I've dealt with personnel. So I have a lot of breadth of experience, and the individuals and institutions I've dealt with, it would be governors and legislators, DFAC. I was the primary staff person for DFAC for almost 20 years. So that meant I've done a lot of revenue forecasts. I've dealt with a lot of different people on that committee. It's a pretty diverse committee, and you learn to communicate based on different people's styles. Dealt with rating agencies, bond counsel, tax professionals, lobbyists, employees, contractors, the media, and unfortunately opposing counsel in legal disputes. So I've sat through depositions and all that, so I've been in many cases, kind of pressure cooker situations. I don't think it was an accident that when the state had to derive a policy to help land AstraZeneca or to keep Bank of America here or to reopen the Delaware City refinery, Chemours, DuPont, I was in the middle of all those things and in most cases was the leader in putting together the policy to put that together in terms of drafting the legislation, communicating with legislators, and getting it through the General Assembly. So over the years, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say I played a part in securing thousands of jobs and managing billions of dollars. So that's my few minutes of bragging. A couple of things I want to point out, though, is I know that I don't know everything. I know that I can learn from everybody at this table and everybody on my staff.
First, just call us if you don't know everything.
He's heard of your reputation.
Well, apparently not, because his opening comment has exceeded his resume.
I try to have a collaborative management style. Basically, you know, to identify core principles that's going to guide everything that the organization is going to do. And then with that, to collaborate with staff and people with ideas about, you know, figuring out better ways of delivering services. And I don't always think of myself as having the answer. I try to act as a facilitator and hopefully as a good listener. I've had conversations with many of you already, and on a couple of occasions it was very interesting, the coincidence of what they were talking about. You know, literally I was talking about how much return mail does the county have after we do a billing, and we need to get our hands on that. And a certain member of council, I don't think he's here today, but his okay, there he is.
So let me get on the record to Councilman Bell and Councilman Powers have been in here.
His better half is involved with the Postal Service and said, gee, I've noticed there's this crazy thing going on with return bills. Why is that happening? And I said, great, because I've noticed that too. We've got a meeting later this week on that very topic. So, as I said, when we talk about management, lots of people can have good ideas, and it's the manager's responsibility to make sure all those good ideas get a fair hearing, and then we prioritize from that point. And with respect to policy and budgets, I hope that earlier today that gave you a flavor for how I'd like things to work. I don't know how to operate any other way. I mean, we're going to lay the cards on the table. We can agree to disagree, but we're all going to be playing, looking at the same information. And that's basically how I want to conduct my relationship with this body, and with my staff. I want to utilize them as resources and to again make collaborative decisions. So that's a very broad brush. I welcome any questions you might have.
And let's let the record show that Councilman Hollins is here. There we go. Councilman Taggart.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I'll share quickly a conversation that I've had to have with Mr. Greger on something that has been pretty publicly advertised. Noticed, delinquency in the sewer fees in Glasgow Mobile Home Park, and that's an issue that David has already had to jump on. They've had meetings with it. They've come to an agreement with the tenant, or the landowner, and hopeful, fingers crossed, that, you know, that will reach a resolution. And, share with Dave pretty, openly, that this body did vote for a 12%, sewer increase, and that, they're going to be watching that, with a microscope. And he certainly agreed. He understood it. He understood the concern. He understood the financial situation. And I've been very impressed with David. He's the way he articulates the issues that he's working on and the way he's addressing them and engaging us, I've been impressed so far. So I'm hopeful. I'm also looking forward to what, you've been there for a while. It's just you're stepping up now, but I would like to see, hopefully soon, what you have seen going on over there and some new initiatives that you would like to undertake and make yours and take ownership of to be able to differently address them and present them to this body. So
I appreciate that. As far as new initiatives, I think I've articulated this to a few members here. Certainly I have ideas, but again, I want to hear from our staff, our customers, and I consider you all customers, about things that we can do better. I understand you have a difficult job when you have to look at tight budgets and take the kind of votes you had to do this year. And, if we're not doing our job with respect to increasing collections or finding ways to make paying taxes or fees easier for our constituents, it's tough to take those kind of votes. And I just think that we need to, do all the spade work we can on that. you know, look in every nook and cranny to figure out if there's better ways we can do that. And I'm excited to, you know, partner with people like Mike Honicki, who's really understands technology, and just some of the things he's talking about in terms of where we can be and how that can make our collections easier. We're trying to get a hotel tax through this body and implement it. I can tell you we're already working on systems and forms and notifications for all the taxpayers, and we're going to have that package ready for you to see exactly what all the taxpayers are going to be looking at. But looking 6 or 9 months ahead, I'm hoping we can have something that is going to be, you know, a web presence with electronic transfer and something that's going to be real slick and not driven by paper. And I think we've got a really good team that can help us get there.
Any other questions? Any other comments? Councilman Powers and then Councilman Bell.
Yesterday he asked if there was anything, and all of a sudden I'm remembering what my wife says. And when you're saying, and what was brought up quite a bit because of delinquent taxes and then our collection rate being so close, but I think what it is once in the past, and I brought it up probably 12 years, is we get to a real high amount and we collect it. But she has delivered to places that don't even exist for 12 years, and it gets sent back. Some of them are deceased people. Some of them are a wood lot that has an address that we're delivering to that is nobody living there. And it just gets sent back to Philadelphia or wherever the hell it goes. It doesn't come back to us. But this is nothing new. So when you're saying that, I'm sitting here thinking it's 12 years, nobody's collected this, and I said it to my wife. She said, well, I delivered a whole bunch today, and there's nobody. They got sent back to them. So, I mean, somebody's got to get on a computer and find this shit. But
referring back to my experience with the state had the same problem, and a person that was on my staff for years kind of grabbed the ball and started running with it in terms of using services like LexisNexis. Where, you know, you give them information and they'll find what they believe to be the freshest address. You update the system, you send it to that new address. It's you know, like any kind of technology or implementation of technology, it's, you know, there's test runs and all that you have to do. But I was talking to my staff and I said, look, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. Let's kind of get our arms around the scope of our problem with return mail, and then let's at least touch base with them. And if they lost momentum and didn't get it done, I said, let's go out and talk to some of these credit card banks. I mean, they've got customers that haven't paid their bills and have moved, and think, what services do they use? And basically, let's find out what the scope of solutions are that are out there, and then find the one that kind of fits, you know, the scale of our problem and, you know, our resources and what we can do. So it's I tend to look at things that way, treat it like a little bit of a research project, and then look at the resources and constraints that we have and try to find the best solution in that context.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think that we would all agree you have a very impressive background and history, a lot of institutional knowledge. But one of the things that I want to mention before a confirmation is asked for is that, you know, political appointees in different positions in Newcastle County government come from a variety of workplaces. And we've had a tremendous amount of employees come from state government. And one of the things that I would say, and I would hope that some of the folks that accept some of the appointed positions that have been in state government, is that we tend to be different in a lot of ways in the county government, and we've had a tremendous amount of accomplishments through the years in county government, and our AAA bond ratings haven't come by just chance. We have, and I'm really happy to hear you say that you're going to value and work with your folks and try to be a good listener and a team and everything, but not everything that fits in state government applies to where county government is today and what we do in county government. I think that your expertise, your experience bring a lot to the table, and your presentation today speaks well for kind of the vision of how to inform the council. But I think one of the things that has been missing and has occurred over the past 18 months is I, for one, am not shy about saying it, is I think that some of the folks that have come aboard in county government have not treated this council with the respect it deserves as elected officials. We are the legislative branch of government. You know, it's a thing where I think, like I say, I'm going to say what I have on my mind, try to be honest and open with people. It is a cooperative, a spirit of cooperation between the administration, who is also elected and appoints folks to work with the legislative branch of this government, to work hand in hand. And we ask a lot of questions. And there's times that we're not going to be very happy with certain things or we have to say things, but I just want to, you've been here, you've seen some of it, some of the comments that have been made to council and things. We're not here for that. We're here to work together as a team, to work with you as the chief financial officer, and you're there to work with all of us. We've got a lot of committee chairs that have brought tremendous amounts to the table from their former jobs and involvement in different phases of employment and everything. And if you look at some of them and you deal with them long enough, you'll realize that they're passionate about what they do. They're passionate about finances. They're passionate about public safety, community services, and special services and everything. So we're here to work with you, but it's a two-way street. And you know, I like what I'm hearing. If you want to take a page out of anyone's book, take one out of Ciro Poppy's book, because he's got a good team of people. He's a good representative, a good steward of his department, and but he works very closely and everything. But you can do a great job. You have a tremendous responsibility. But without a spirit of cooperation between council and the finance department and the administration, it just doesn't work very well.
I can't disagree with anything you said. I'm proud of the work I did with the state, but when I'm in meetings with county personnel, if I start talking too much about my past experience, I'll raise my hand and say, tell me to shut up. Tell me to shut up if I'm talking too much about the state, particular issues that I need to understand here at the county. As I said, I think I did a good job working for the state, but I know I don't know everything, and I know I don't know nearly as much about the history of the county or how the county operates as the people who are around me, and that's why, until I learn all that, my job is to be a facilitator with my staff and other department heads who have the luxury of more experience. As far as dealing with this body, I hope today was a pretty good example. I'm willing to lay the cards on the table and to say, let's all kick the tires. I'm going to use every mixed metaphor I can about this point, I guess, but I don't know how to operate any other way. I may have said this, I don't know if I had a chance to, I think we didn't catch up on the phone, but we have to have one set of numbers for this council, one set of numbers for the rating agencies, one set of numbers for the public, one set of numbers for our employees. I mean, we can emphasize different points, but it's one set of numbers. We have one financial picture. That's my goal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any further questions, comments? We'll wait a couple months for the criticisms.
As I told you, revenues and forecasts are always wrong, so it's easy, they're easy to criticize. But if we
can, hey, I never rated CFOs with the weatherman, but you've changed it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Look forward to seeing who breaks the tie vote tonight. Did I say that? Tara throws her voice sometimes. So.
My money's on you.
I one. You picked the right one. Okay, next
I'll call you after it's over.
Yeah, don't call. Next on the agenda, 18-058, to amend the pay plan and rates of pay for non-union classified service employees and to adopt class specification for the position title of Parks Division Manager. Ms. Nagel.
I ask the administration to speak to this.
Hi, Tracy Searles, Public Works Department. I spoke to council maybe about a month ago when a couple of other management positions, new job specifications came before council. I think I may have even mentioned that one when I spoke before. This position is for a parks division head. It would manage both the operating side of our parks, our property maintenance, which Paul Johnson runs now, in addition to all of the planning, the capital work, everything on that side that Jonathan Husband, Kendall Summers has been involved with. One thing we learned when we advertised for internal services manager about a year ago was that internal services is fleet, buildings, and parks. We seem to either get candidates with parks experience or candidates that had buildings and maybe a little bit of fleet with it. So I discussed this before about dividing kind of the department into specialties, and this is one of the steps in that process. Again, I would like to emphasize that it's cost neutral, the entire thing. We are using existing positions to fund these. We're just kind of, we're just organizing the department more by function.
Okay. Any questions, comments from any members of council? Councilman Bell.
This position will go through the normal HR process of selection, hiring, interviews?
It will. It's already been through the HRB as far as creating it, and yes, it will be an open, competitive, going through our normal process, yes.
And is it your intent to be internal only, promoted?
No, it will be advertised externally, and we're also actually trying to get external raters on our boards right now to kind of increase the fairness of our process.
And the reason I say that is that, you know, when you talk about Parks Division Manager, all this council needs to do is look around the room sometimes at some of our personnel that have handled our park responsibilities for years and have done a tremendous job and very qualified. And I would only hope that we take a look at some of that expertise, you know, internally also.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. I think it's just it is such a high-level position. We do tend to like to advertise it, but we do have excellent, I mentioned one of them just a second ago, personnel internally.
Thank and you. My resume came back unopened, returned to sender, so I think I know where I'm at.
I thought it was shredded.
Councilman Tapp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good comeback.
Unbelievable.
I like that.
Yes, I want to echo the sentiments that, you know, Councilman Bell shared, too, where I think, you know, when you're building the department and the morale and you have dedicated, hardworking individuals that have been there for, you know, many years, you know, doing the job and loyal, again, you know, to the whole process, and it's certainly worthwhile to be, you know, looking there as opposed, you know, to move it to the outside to, you know, grab somebody when there potentially could be somebody right here that's already been, again, already doing what's happening and in there. And I'm hoping at some point you're going to come back to us with, you know, a little bit of a presentation now that the budget's passed, you know, on your whole department, what you're doing with these positions, what the whole plan is, and as you move forward with that. So, maybe we could see a whole plan that you have, you know, at some point to go under, you know, with your position that you're adding here, I guess.
Councilman Hollins.
Yes, Tracy, you mentioned external raters on your board. Could you explain just exactly what role they would play, the external raters? My concern is a little bit different because I historically have been very concerned about the diversity of our workforce. And to me, I think that it means that we have to open the doors more than close them. But when you mention external auditors, I mean external raters, just what role and where would they come from and what would they be doing?
And part of it is to address the concern you just mentioned, and that's also part of why we are advertising all these positions externally. But we always have a selection board. A lot of times it's even a two-step process where there's three people ranking the individuals or doing the testing process. For especially any type of management and above position in our department, we're looking to get an external rater. For example, it might be somebody from DelDOT or somebody from the city of Wilmington that has experience, Jeff Starkey or somebody like that, who could maybe sit on the panel and just, you know, we're just hoping to increase kind of the fairness and objectivity and have some of these outside raters also look at it with a fresh eye. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank
and
you.
It goes a little bit towards your concern and trying to make sure we have as open and fair of a process as possible.
Thank you.
So you're looking for a one-eyed person.
Yeah.
Fresh eye. Councilman Street.
I was going to stay out of everything, but as a person who was one of the conveners for state hearing that the NAACP convened in regard to discriminatory practices with state, DelDOT ain't the example you want to use. LA for me.
Anyone else? Anything else? Good. Thank you. Next, we have 18-059 to amend the pay plan and rates of pay for non-union classified service row office employees and to upgrade the position title of Register of Wills Office Administrator. Ms.
And May. I'm going to ask Mr. Poppy to speak to this.
Good afternoon, members of council. Councilman Bell, thank you for the nice comment.
Absolutely.
All right, it'll stay between us. Good afternoon. This bill has been in the works for a while. Our office administrator is Tracy Henn, who is here, and what it attempts to do is have parity among the row offices. All that I'm asking is that our office administrator be paid exactly what an office administrator in the Recorder of Deeds is paid. And as in terms of the finances, Councilman Bell, back at during the budget hearing, you asked me, hey, I see that you're going from 19 people down to 18. This budget, we did give up one position with the idea that the monies from that position would be reinvested, some of the monies would be reinvested back in our people who have been doing a great job. So, thank you.
And it looks as if this is going through the HR process for evaluation and
yes.
Been recommended.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tracy Henn, Office Administrator, yes, it has.
Yeah, I noticed the sheet. I just wanted to get that on the record. Okay. Hey, Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I too want to just commend Ciro for, you know, the way he runs his office and the professionalism that he conducts and all the strides that he's made since taking office. They've just been monumental and they don't ever end. You just keep coming up with new ones there. So congratulations, and I look forward to supporting this for you tonight.
Thank you.
Anything further? Okay. I have something under other. Could you take one and pass them down, please? We are now at the time to take a look at our August calendar so we know where we're at going forward. So I've taken the liberty, this just came up recently, so I've taken the liberty of making a photocopy of the August calendar and attaching with it what we did last year. Last year we had 5 Tuesdays, this year we have 2. So in short, following with what has been our practice, I would make a motion that we suspend for, not really suspend. I'd make a motion that our August council, committee and council meeting be the fourth Tuesday of the month, August 28th.
Second.
Yes, Councilman Bell.
Just a question or suggestion, yeah, is that, you know, if you have the meeting the 28th, if you take a look at the lay of the land the last week of August and then Labor Day weekend coming up, you know, a lot of the munchkins are getting ready to go back to school, grandchildren and everything else. Would there be any benefit of, I mean, what's our first meeting in September? I guess, is it after Labor Day?
Yeah, we've got to have a meeting in August. Last year we did it on the 29th.
Okay. But I guess what I was looking at is, do you take the last part of the month and kind of, if you didn't have a meeting the last part of the month, kind of tie it into the Labor Day week?
Yeah, we can only skip two meetings, and right, we do one in December, and we do one in August.
Yeah.
So we've got to have one in August, and we try to maintain the continuity of the second.
Right. And I was just asking about the 14th rather than the 28th.
Oh, geez.
Just a question.
No.
Suggestion.
I think rather than break and have it in the middle of the month, I seem most would like to have it at one end. I mean, but it's up to council. Councilman Taggart, did you have a...
No. I was only going to mention, I agree with you. It just gives us a longer break from the July meeting, too. You know, we've got to come back in August.
The one, and you?
Do you want me to go now?
Yeah, please.
Okay. And I have an addition to this.
Well, I think,
let's finish this.
I'm trying to say we're going to do it as a package. Okay, let's just go ahead and vote on this and get out of the way. We have a motion to have the August council meeting being August 28th, and we have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All those not voting? Okay.
You just said the 28th.
Next, the 28th.
28th. Okay, so
Tuesday.
So along with that, I'm going to move to suspend any and all rules, including Rule 5-4, for the placement of committee and the ability to vote on anything listed under Rule 5-4, which includes the Unified Development Code, major plans or rezonings, deed restrictions, use variance, level of service waivers, any legislation or matter relating to amendments in Chapter 40. So that basically what I'm saying is that because we would not have any other committee meetings, asking to suspend the rules for Rule 5.4 means that on the 28th we would be able to have committee meetings and voting on that same day rather than having to wait a week in between.
And if I can clear up any confusion, this is the new rule that we put in place that required the mandatory, can't do it on the same day. So that's what we're looking to suspend. And if you look at last year's agenda, we made it work that
exactly
way. But
the
this,
same,
rule,
yes.
This rule was not in effect then, thus requiring the motion this year.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Next. Gotcha. Next.
Okay, so I have another suspension.
Okay, Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
So land use was supposed to meet on July 3rd at 3 o'clock. Public Works Committee is canceled for that day. We have, I think, three items that were coming up. One of them was a rezoning in Councilman Street's district, and the other ones have to do with the phase two of the UDC. So what I am asking is that we be able to suspend rules to cancel the meeting on July 3rd and be able to hold a land use committee meeting at 2:30 on July 10th, cover those issues that would have been on for July 3rd, and then be able to vote for them that night so that they would not be out of sequence in what would have been the normal process. Just the Rule 5.4 would have to be suspended.
Okay, let's go to the finance. I'll second that motion.
Just write all that up.
Councilman Street.
No, if I wrote that, it would have been more consistent than what I explained.
Councilman Street, you got a comment?
I don't know where the council is. The reason I voted no the last time and concerned this time, That's all right, as long as whatever you have on the agenda is not contentious and doesn't make anybody angry. But at the point where you change the rule and then you vote on something contentious, that leaves the door sitting wide open for litigation and aggravation that we don't need. But the will of council.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Well, the thing, thank you. The things that are on the agenda for the UDC changes, we've been talking about for 2 years and talked about even last week in the Land Use Committee meeting and have had several presentations on it. If it gets contentious, July happens to be Councilman Tackett's month to run land use, so he will deal with it. And what we've discussed is that if something goes on and is contentious and we see that there's people coming in to voice their opinions against something, we can, this gives us the ability then to push it to the 24th. So it still would be something that would be able to be voted on prior to the August break. Yeah. And I believe somebody talked to you about whether they thought your rezoning was contentious or not. Am I correct?
Yes.
And if it becomes contentious, we can do the same for that. Dave can do the same.
And all advertising time frames in accordance with our code will be met.
Yes.
So that part of this helps that process. Councilman Howell.
So we're assuming that if these items that we're going to vote on the same night, if they had to wait for the next meeting, that's going to create a problem?
Well, if go ahead. If somebody has put it through the process, I would expect that they have an expectation that it would be voted on, like Ms. Councilman Street's rezoning. That's a long process to get to a rezoning, so it's not necessarily the difference of 2 weeks, but if there was something contentious and it got pushed till the end of August, we're talking about another month, could that make a difference in somebody going to settlement on a piece of property? Probably. I think what we are voting on tonight with Cavaliers, that one of the items that's going to be voted on in the UDC changes is something that is going to be used in the Cavaliers plan. So that means if we voted in the Cavaliers plan tonight, that there is the possibility that we are not allowing them to go forward with designing their plan within the same specified time that we normally would, and could ultimately be pushed out until the end of August. So in that case, if there's an issue, we're putting them out 6 weeks.
I understand, but we do it all the time. I mean, we do have a recess here, and oftentimes we may even table a rezoning for several meetings, as a matter of fact. But I mean, I don't have a big issue with it, but it seems like we're going through a lot to try to make something happen that
This is only for the July.
And so I'm jumping.
I get it.
This is all just because of this. The rule that we have in, without the rule,
established for a certain reason, but now
and I think we amended that the following week or 2 weeks later.
Right, yeah.
So basically, what we would have discussed on July 3rd and voted on July 10th will be discussed on July 10th and tentatively voted on July 10th.
Yeah. If the rule is that inconvenient, maybe it shouldn't be a rule.
Well,
I'll second that.
Yeah, from the day that this rule went in, I mean, it went in for boards and commissions. Land use had a discussion about whether it would be good for them. I think it was brought to us. We did not initiate that, correct?
Yeah, it came from
it came from the department.
Yeah.
So we didn't initiate that, and from day one, we have had issues with it and have ultimately thought about getting rid of it. So if
maybe we should. I mean, we need to think it through, but, you know, having to suspend the rule and, you know, it seems a little bit messy to do business that way.
Let's put Councilwoman Diller.
I was just going to say, this came up years ago in boards and commissions, I don't even know how many years ago, when we were hearing the nomination and then voting on it. That was considered problematic by some people. This thing, I mean, I don't know how many years ago this went into
it. It was years ago because I was accused of trying to sneak people in.
Right.
Let's call it what it was.
I mean, I don't even remember, but we just sort of inherited it.
And I need another person. Well, let's put it this way. July meeting would probably be a nice meeting for land use to bring forward their resolution to amend that language and remove you from it.
That's fine.
I mean, we used to be able to do that here, but now we can't do that anymore. Now we need a resolution because we had that rule change.
You could do that.
So, just bring a resolution changing.
A resolution now.
So just bring a resolution changing that rule, exempt yourself, and we'll vote it first.
Well, Councilman Talbot will be pleased to do that, I'm sure.
Okay.
if it's convenient, we'll bring it in front.
Right. All right. We have a motion for the record to move the land use meeting and to suspend the rule for the purposes of the July 3rd land use meeting being moved to the 10th with a vote. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Those wanting to discuss it further.
Okay. Yeah, right.
So, the calendar and the changes have been adopted. I'm sure somebody's office will send an email out canceling the... Because we've already had one meeting canceled for the 3rd.
Yes. The notice has gone out for cancellation, and we have talked to the Department of Land Use, and they are on board with being able to change that.
However, the emergency executive committee meeting will be on for the 3rd, and we need a full house. I'm just relaying the message I got from Councilman Hollins on this note.
What am I supposed to be here?
Okay. Anything else on the other?
One other thing. In the earlier meeting, Councilman Street expressed his concern very passionately about families being torn apart at our southern borders. And during the break, Andrea Allman also was moved by Councilman Street's comments, and she provided me with a rally that's going to occur on Saturday. So I want to make all council members aware of this. It's going to start at Cool Springs in the Upper Park at 10 o'clock. And the participants will march from Cool Springs down to the state office building. There will be speakers there. So it should be a two-hour rally on this Saturday. For anyone who's interested in being a part of this, I think I would probably participate even myself. But Andrea did send me the notice and make copies of this if anyone is interested in being a part of this.
Appreciate it. Anything else on the other? Any public comment? Can I get a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much.
Wow.